Welcome to Golden Mastermind Seminars Radio with your host, Jeffrey Combs.
Good afternoon, everyone. GMS Live. Welcome to the Facebook Live this afternoon. It is a beautiful late July afternoon, July 28th. Check the calendar. I will go ahead and let the Facebook Live populate, and then we'll move into the inspirational portion of today's Facebook Live. Scott Lucas, welcome to the live today. Wayne Clark, J.A. Johns, great coaching you today. Billy Tully, great to connect with you. Lori in Los Angeles, welcome. Jay Little in Orlando, welcome to Facebook Live. Wayne D., you're in Miami today, good for you. Scott Lucas, good afternoon this afternoon. Kate Grace in Kansas, welcome to Facebook Live. Thank you, Jay. I appreciate the good afternoon. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Billy, good to see you. Hello, everyone, Kate says. We're going to go ahead and start the Facebook Live here in a few moments. Aaron Knight, great coaching you early this morning. All right, so we're going to go ahead and move into the inspirational portion of today's Facebook Live. Now, this is now called the GMS Live. I have changed the name, and I've gone back to my original brand. Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated is the name of my corporation. And in 1998, I started this call in the, let's see, at 5 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon as a live conference call. And it was a women's workshop that I started for a company. And I then changed it to a 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time call. And then I eventually changed it to More Heart Than Talent. Jody Garrett, welcome to the Facebook Live this afternoon. I have now gone back to my original brand, which is Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated, and this is now the GMS call. I do not have any announcements for any workshops coming up or Breakthroughs to Success or Protégé Writer Speeders workshops because of the pandemic, COVID-9, and all the other situations that are going on, the narratives and stories that are being told. I will not be publicly speaking this year, and when that will happen next year is to be determined. So in the interim, you can find me every Monday through Thursday night at 9 p.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and then on Fridays and Saturdays sometime around 5 or 6 in the evening, and Sundays at 7. So I do many Facebook Lives with content. This content is recorded and is available on podcast at Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. Sometime in the very near future, I will be hosting the Protégé Writer Speakers Workshop, and I will be doing a two-day event on a Friday and Saturday, and it will be a 3 or 4 hour per day event. So I will give you more insight on that. Some of you already purchased that, and I will open it up for other participants. It'll be a purchased event, a two-day event. It'll be 4 hours on a Friday and 4 hours on a Saturday. And I will have top-tier quantum healer speakers, financial experts, and I will do my best to see if I can negotiate the great Ed Griffin to make an appearance. No promises, but Ed is my friend, Edward G. Griffin. He wrote the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. And a little bit of time with him, now, you'd have to see him in a small, intimate event for him to really open up, and I'm very skilled at provoking him with questions because I've known him since 1997. So if you have not picked up his book or read his book, it's groundbreaking content. The name of that book is The Creature from Jekyll Island. It is the history of the Federal Reserve Bank. And if you want to know a little bit about what's going on in the world today, you can go straight to the chapter on the Rothschilds because it tells the story of the bloodlines and the lineage. It is mind-blowing content. Now for today's content, I'm covering the razor's edge. The razor's edge, I was introduced to that term. It was a book written by the great Somerset Maugham, who also wrote the book, that's M-A-U-G-H-M, Somerset Maugham, who wrote the book, A Separate Piece. In 1994, he wrote a groundbreaking book called The Razor's Edge. The book was about a soldier who was a conscientious objector in World War I, and his life was spared as his best friend was killed and died in his arms. And the original role was played by Tyrone Power. Gene Tierney had the female part, Clifton Webb was in the movie, and Ann Baxter won the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor, Actress, and the movie won Best Movie of the Year in 1946, right after World War II. It is a very, very deep book, and The Razor's Edge. The Razor's Edge is the thin line that we walk. It's the thin line between truth and falsehood, right and wrong, good and bad, black and white, win and lose. Now, the razor's edge is oftentimes is where we operate between being an addict and in recovery, between being successful and sabotaging ourselves, between being in a relationship and out of relationship, from paying off our debt, from being in debt. So it's the contradiction that we tend to live in. And so I'm going to cover some content. And you can read this book by the great David Hawkins. Chapter 7 is called The Razor's Edge. I forgot to put that little star there, so my humble apologies if it's turned around. But the name of the book is Discovery of the Presence of God, Devotional Non-Duality. David Hawkins is the most prolific writer in the history of consciousness. That is my opinion, and I will stand on that. So I have been reading Hawkins for 15 years, and once you become a Hawkins devotee, there isn't a whole lot else to read because his content is so good, I read it over and over. So he is the most prolific writer on the topic of letting go. A lot of the skill set of letting go, like the next level skill set that I have taught myself that I teach other, came from some of his writings along with what I've already learned myself. So the razor's edge, what I want to assist you with today is to get off the edge of that razor because it's a very, very sharp thin line that you don't require to walk. So you want to widen the space, meaning that you want to move out of right and wrong and good and bad. You want to move out of being right and making someone else wrong. You want to move out of that space, especially in today's world, because there's a lot of opinions going on. And you don't want to be in conflict unless you absolutely have to. Now, I'm not suggesting you don't take a stand when required, but if you will find that in an opposition like we're going on today, one side is right and the other side is wrong. And there's a lot of conflict and chaos and there's hate mongering and other situations going on in the world. This is why it's very important in today's world, as any time, but never more so than today, to be an exceptional listener, meaning that you're in present space awareness and you can hear what's meant, not only what's said. You can also understand other people's point of view. You also understand a term called predictability. Human beings are predictable, and the more you understand other people's predictability, the more you understand who to communicate with and who to let go. So when you ask someone a closing question, a trial closing question, have you received enough value that feel comfortable in purchasing, and the person you're communicating with goes which is the sound, U-M, followed by a preposition, well, you now know they're going to tell you a story. And you're not holding on to the razor's edge, hoping that you can convince this person to buy. Because the probability of this person buying isn't very high, because the story they're about to tell you. And when you understand predictability, you understand why people do what they do, and then you live in a place called autonomy and detachment. And detachment has more than one meaning. Detachment is like the word vulnerability. Vulnerability has more than one meaning. The duality of vulnerability is vulnerable, and vulnerable means I don't want to get hurt. And so oftentimes I'll put weight on myself, or I'll avoid relationships so I don't get hurt because I don't want to be vulnerable. Or in spirituality, recovery, sobriety, transformation, vulnerability is you're able to be vulnerable with someone. You're able to share your insights. So there's more than, and so the word detached doesn't mean you don't care. But in our world of spirituality, recovery, sobriety, transformation, quantum physics, healing the soul and letting go of events that shape the feelings, what that means, detachment means that you're not attached to an outcome. You can be in a situation without personalizing it. You're not feeling rejected. You don't feel abandoned. You don't relapse into resentment. You don't make someone wrong because they didn't do what you wanted or attempted to control the outcome. And when you're detached also, then you're not attached to the outcome. You're not trying to control it. So you can have relaxed conversations with people and let them be right or let them go in a blessed state, or you can just let it go without being in conflict. And then you're not saying things like, oh, I got ghosted, or oh, they rejected me, or they abandoned me. No, you detach, you let that go. You're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape the feelings. And no, here I'll say it slow, no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape the feelings. That's the front side of letting go. And the backside is that you're able to separate your feelings from the events. There's a chronology and a timeline to your life. And the more you understand the difference between this, repression and suppression. Repression are the events that you tell yourself, you don't know, you don't remember. My entire childhood was a blur until I was 15. I had someone tell me that once. Honestly, my entire childhood was a blur. Well, when people say honestly frequently in a sentence, it creates its own set of doubt. Honestly, to be honest with you, am I to interpret that if you don't say you're honest, that you aren't honest? I mean, this is the other duality that many people live in. And the more you can hear what's meant, when you hear what people mean and you can detach from the outcome, it improves your ability to listen. So you can really hear what's meant along with what's said. What I think I'm going to do is I'm not breaking up with you, but what I want to do is I want to get my own place. I want to get my own space. I want to think it through, but I don't really want to break up with you. Now, anyone who's spiritual, been to recovery, understands what that really means. That's the nice way of saying I'm breaking up with you. I don't really have the courage right now to tell you where I feel, and I'm just going to slither out of this relationship and let you dangle over here. Now, that's predictable. That happens frequently. It's not black and white. I mean, every situation is every situation. But the more you're off that razor's edge of intensity, that razor's edge of holding on, the razor's edge of, I hope they buy from me. I hope I get the movie part. I hope, instead of being detached from it, knowing in spiritual law and spiritual truth that it's meant to be, that it will happen. If it's not this one, it will be another one. And when you're able to let go of your attachment, then you're not on that razor's edge, that grindy grind that happens. So I'm right-handed, so my grind was right here. And I had that intense intensity. And people would say, wow, you look really pissed off, dude, or you're angry. And then I would get pissed off and angry because they were pointing out I was pissed off and angry, which then I would have to have a drink. That would be the excuse I'd have to have a triple Glenlivet. I was a 12-year-old Scotch drinker and a Stolichnaya drinker in my day before all the vodkas and all the Scotches. My Scotch and vodka drinking goes back into the 70s and 80s. And with me, I was on such a razor's edge that here's how I lived. One was too many and 1,000 wasn't enough because an addict always wants a little more. Now, it took me several years to get off that razor's edge. So you've seen a single razor blade, that one edge razor blade, the one that you scrape ice with and the one that you can cut tape off with. Well, that's the razor's edge. That's that thin line between love and hate, good and bad, black and white, right and wrong. That's the razor's edge. Now, when you can live more in the gray rather than the black and white, and you're not right and wrong, you can see other people's point of view. You can see other people's situation. Then you're not, like in the political world, you're not going, well, that doesn't make sense. I don't understand. You would think that. It's not about sense. It's about what's really happening. And it's your responsibility to interpret that. And that's your ability to respond, to not be on that razor's edge, so that you can be able to navigate and adapt and adjust and pivot in this world. Because never in American times has it been more required for us to be flexible. We don't know when the next shutdown's coming. We don't know when the next mask we have to wear is happening. We don't know when our favorite restaurant is going to go out of business. We don't know when our favorite gym is going to shut down. We don't know when our favorite yoga studio is going to get shut down. We don't know any of this anymore. We don't know if the restaurant that we have reservations for on Saturday night is even going to be open because of the unpredictability. And if you're a business owner in today's world, it's imperative that you develop a business model that's as recession-proof as possible. I mean, whatever that even means, because even that doesn't mean it means. It means that we are living in uncertain times. That's the razor's edge. And it's required would be a good word. It's a suggestion that you learn to live in more flexibility than you ever lived in. Do your best to get out of conflict. I don't like masks, and I encounter a lot of people who don't like masks. But I will wear a mask. I believe in the Constitution. I'm a constitutionalist. But I'm not really going to create conflict in a restaurant because this is my right. But I'm also going to respect someone that doesn't want to wear a mask. And then if I'm not wearing a mask down the street and someone goes off on me, I'm not going to go off on them. It's just not worth the energy. So, that's what I mean. To think that we're even arguing over a mask is the razor's edge. I mean, that is where we are. And so that means we accept, or you accept, or I accept. So the first step to letting go is acceptance. So when you can let go, when you can really accept, okay, so I'm a chronic debtor. Now this is a challenge for an addict because addicts don't like to admit that they have challenges. Their ego, their lower self, wants to hold on to a set of feelings to perpetuate the same outcome over and over. But when you move into acceptance, when you say that I'm a hoarder, I'm a chronic procrastinator, I'm a chronic avoider, I brood and pout, I'm sensitive and defensive. When you can look at your some of your flaws and you do it without being critical or angry at yourself or others, or you don't blame, or you don't hold other people responsible for your feelings, now you're moving into acceptance. That automatically scales consciousness. Now, that takes you up to a place called courage. Courage is not an emotion, it's a quality. And so courage isn't an emotion, it's not a state you stay in. You access courage to start a process. You go to your first 12-step meeting, you pick your phone up for the first time and call someone. You write your first post, you do your first video. Sometimes it requires courage to do that. Oh my man, young Joe Todd, who was my coaching client 20 years ago, is on Facebook Live today. I say young, he was 21 when he hired me, Joe. But when courage requires, it's a quality, you access it. If you're in combat, sometimes it would require courage to get up out of that foxhole and go out there and drag your compadre back into the foxhole without worried about getting killed. I mean, that's courage. Courage is a quality, and that scales. So there's the acceptance, then courage. And so once, like Billy said, the 1,000-pound phone, actually I've weighed phones before. They only weigh a pound or so. But it's the emotions it's the attachment we give or the meaning we give to the story we hold on to that determines whether we're in consciousness, anxiety, and fear. And as you're letting go, separating your feelings from the events that shape them, then you are not the mind-body connection to those events that shape them. So when you let go of the repressed events that you begin to understand, I assisted one of my clients today who was telling me, I don't remember, I don't understand. Well, I'm very good at the timeline and the chronology. I'm very good at assisting people because I've done it so many times. So people, I'm relentless on this because I understand the importance of the chronology, the events, and the understanding. Because if you don't understand why you do what you do, you'll repeat a behavior. You'll recreate the same situation to fulfill a neurochemical craving that you're emotionally addicted to. Now, I don't have a PhD and I don't have an MD, but I do have common sense and I'm very skilled at understanding neuroscience without being a scientist because I've read enough, I understood enough. I spent quality time with Dr. Joe Dispenza and with John Assaraf early in my career in the early 2000s. Assaraf used to bend spoons at my events. We used to do metal bars from windpipe to windpipe. And I studied how the reticular activating system, the emotional search engine that searches for a familiar feeling, will attract to its reality people and situations to fulfill low self-esteem or consciousness. And as you move into that space of the forbidden zone called consciousness, then you're no longer the mind-body connection to being overwhelmed. Now, the most challenging situation that I encounter are people who are unorganized. If you live in unorganized chaos, if you're overwhelmed all the time and you edify it, well, there's a compounded effect. It means you've been living like this a long time. And it means that there's an emotional tolerance to that in living overwhelmed. The first step in that is acceptance. The second step is changing your word choices. I'm always this. I'm always late. I'm always worried. When you're always, there's no space for you to move. So you're not always, I'm occasionally. When you move into occasionally, you change the narrative between the brain and the body. It's very important that you understand the connection between your body to your brain, because your body will run your brain until you become aware of why you do what you do. I've spoken at thousands of events where I've asked someone in the front row a question, and before their mouth moves, their leg crosses, means they begin to shut down. And they already feel like I'm picking on them. I'm not picking on them. I'm asking the question. But their body is already shutting down in fight or flight, afraid they're going to make a mistake, get in trouble, say the wrong thing. And so when you understand that, now you can sit there in your body, being present, being here, being now, and answer the question. And the effort required to change and transform is not Herculean. It's not difficult. Hi, Jonah. Good to see you. Jonah was one of my clients. Great story. I'll tell you about Jonah one day. Lived in his car for almost a year. It was a very interesting story. But he lived in a Mercedes. That made it even more interesting. So, and he's on the Facebook Live here today. So it's very interesting to really understand why you do what you do, because human beings behave in ways that are familiar. And the more you understand familiarity and predictability, it becomes an asset to you because you understand why people do what they do. And if you own a business, if you have employees, if you're seeking a contractor, a teammate, a soulmate, vendors, customers, people of influence and affluence, it's important that you understand why people do what they do, how to communicate effectively, how to ask questions in a flow, how to be in the hands-free zone when you're communicating with people, how to detach when a situation isn't favorable, how to easily let go so you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape the feelings. And when you're in that space, it becomes easy and effortless. And so in looking at the topic for the day, the razor's edge, so you move off that thin line to the razor's edge. The razor's edge is where you're worried about making a mistake that hasn't happened. You're trying to control the situation that hasn't happened. You're worried about what's going to happen. You don't want to pick the telephone up. You don't want to call the air conditioning contractor to come out because you're afraid it's going to cost you. You let go of the anxiety about what hasn't happened, and you move off that razor's edge and you move into a place called consciousness, awareness, understanding, and knowing. And you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape the feelings. And in this space of let go, you're no longer in the mixed message. When you're holding on like this, very tight and uptight in an overwhelmed state, it's not conducive to the outcome you seek. As you let go, with no attachment to an outcome, now you can relate and relax. You can have a conversation with someone and see if there's a connection. If there's not a connection, then you don't have a story about it, that you got ghosted, rejected, or abandoned. You can easily and effortlessly let go. So if you had a date with someone and they didn't show up, you don't want to tell yourself, they stood me up, they ghosted me. That's what your ego would do. But if you were able to be in a very relaxed body, you would say, they didn't show up and that wasn't worth my time. And when you're able to let go of that, now you're not personalizing it. So when someone, and I assisted someone just recently on this one, he cheated on me. I said, he had affairs. When you can separate on me to he had affairs, that's detachment. Because when you hold on to that for the rest of your life, he cheated on me. He had affairs outside of our marriage. He had affairs outside of our relationship. I wasn't emotionally available, and she had affairs outside of our relationship. When you can own your role and then understand their role, you're detached. That's called recovery. Because when you're in recovery and you're rigorously honest, then you're able to see the situation for what it is. It's called metacognition. You can see the situation. You're an objective observer in your own life. This is how you let go. So you can see the chronology, the timeline, the events that shape your feelings. When your father said he would pick you up on a Saturday in his visitation and he doesn't show up, this creates a lasting memory in a young child, because this means that father abandoned that child. He didn't reject you, he didn't show up, he didn't abandon you. Now, if your mother says that's the kind of man he is, he always does this, now you start to believe this. And so this can be, men are always like this, women are always like this. This creates a story. And it's the stories we hold on to that determines whether we're anxiety, fear, or doubt, or whether we're consciousness. So today, as I wrap up today's Facebook Live, step off that razor's edge, that thin line between right, wrong, good, bad, black, white, I'm right, you're wrong. Win, lose, step out of that. Widen the lane. Paint it gray rather than black and white. Live in the present, live in the now. Let go easily and effortlessly. Thank all of you for being on today's Facebook Live. It's, as always, a privilege and a pleasure. This is a recommended read. This is one of David Hawkins' more minor books as far as selling. That book didn't sell a lot. His most prevalent books that sold was the Fourfecta of Power versus Force, Letting Go, Transmuting Levels of Consciousness, and Healing and Recovery. Those are his four most famous books, led by Power versus Force and Letting Go. That's another one of his more sidelined books that came out after his death, but it has a chapter in there on the razor's edge that is game-changing. The name of that book is Discovery of the Presence of God, the great David Hawkins. You have an outstanding afternoon. Jeffrey Combs. I'll be here on Facebook Live at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time this evening. Have a great afternoon. And oh, by the way, if you're on today's Facebook Live, I offer free 20-minute coaching sessions for first-time callers who have some level of interest in hiring me to either coach, or if you are a former coaching client and have an interest in rehiring me, feel free to contact me on Facebook Messenger or however is best for you to reach me. You have a great afternoon.
Welcome to Golden Mastermind Seminars Radio with your host, Jeffrey Combs.